Glanclwyd Hospital Community Radio on 1287 AM and online.
Welcome back. It's me, Steve Richards, at Radio Glanclwyd till about 5 o'clock this afternoon. And I'm joined now by my guest, Chris Wall. Chris is from EPC Consulting. And my first question, Chris, welcome, by the way. Yeah, I've known you for a while. Very nice guy and very, very knowledgeable. I know that. Can you just explain to me, though, Chris, what is EPC?
An EPC is a requirement for all householders, whether they are letting their property or buying a property or selling a property. Every property has to have an EPC, which is an energy performance certificate. That gives a broad brush idea of the energy efficiency of each individual dwelling based on the type of heating, the size of your property, the windows, the doors, the insulation.
Brilliant. Okay, that's great. So, in essence, I take it there needs to be a survey done to do that.
Yeah, indeed. Yeah. It takes about half an hour, 45 minutes for most properties, and it's a case of measuring all the relevant data you require, plus a whole load of photographs. That's then lodged on a system which is a secure computer system, which will give you a figure, which is will tell you exactly where you rate. The average for the UK is round about D55 to D60.
Right.
Okay. It goes as high as A and as low as G.
So in my little mind, okay, bear a little brain here, okay, yeah? In my little mind, I'm thinking of the sort of energy performance things I see on the side of fridges and equating it to a similar sort of thing.
The one of the pages looks remarkably similar to that colour bar chart, yes.
Right, so...
And each bar is a different colour and it'll have a number in it, which most people will see something between D55 and D60 on their certificate.
That's brilliant, that's fantastic. So do all dwellings have to have an EPC certificate?
There are a few exceptions if you have a listed building, if it's a place of worship, if it's a temporary accommodation, not meant to be occupied for any length of time. But the rule of thumb is that all domestic dwellings require an EPC, and it's valid for 10 years.
All right, okay. So it's not as though you're going to be spending money on something that you need to do every year then?
No, the only time you'd, unless it ran out after 10 years, the only time you'd look to maybe have a new EPC done is if you've made home improvements. If you've insulated your property, if you bought a new boiler, had new windows fitted, because they will have a bearing on your rating.
Okay, that makes sense. That makes total sense. So following on from that, will leaving the EU affect us in any way on this?
No, that's the good thing. Although the EU is involved in energy savings, the actual requirements in the UK are UK law, and they took their lead from the Kyoto Agreement, which many people have heard about, and it's actually a worldwide global carbon emissions reduction target. Britain's reduction target is to reduce their 1990 emissions by 80% by the year 2050. We are currently nearly halfway to that target, and we're actually nearly halfway to the reduction. So although that's a huge global thing we're talking about, each individual house can reduce the amount of carbon that is burnt to heat their house or to light their house.
Chris, we were talking about energy and how to save it. What are the obvious energy saving options for customers out there?
Well, the very first thing you do, you should look at your energy supplier and make sure you are on the very best possible deal you can get with that company. And if it's not to your liking, then you should look to switch. That costs you nothing, and it's certainly the very easiest, quickest. You could save hundreds of pounds. That's the first step.
Yeah, that's really worth doing. I know that. It's something that I've been looking at recently as well. So, good.
The other simple measures you would look at are the loft insulation. Whether you've got cavity wall insulation or whether it's suitable for your property or whether you can have it or not. Have you got drafts? A fireplace is it's a wonderful thing to have, but it's terribly drafty unless you can close it off. Are your doors letting in air? Drafts are one of the worst bits, but a loft will lose about 30% of your heat will go through an uninsulated loft. Wow. And about the same goes through uninsulated walls.
That's a lot, isn't it?
It is. It's quite amazing how much, if you sit down and work out your heat loss and how much more efficient you can be. Obviously, there's the option of upgrading your heating system to get a very efficient boiler. A boiler that's 20 years old, a gas boiler, is probably 75% efficient. Nowadays, a new boiler would be nearly 90% efficient. Right. So, you know, there's a big savings there just in burning the gas.
Yeah. Just throwing a question out of the blue there. Are there still schemes available to get your boiler changed in certain circumstances? I know it only applied to a few people. But
yeah, the circumstances, as with so many of these government schemes, they keep on moving the goalposts. But currently, there is a scheme running which started in April of this year and it'll run through till September next year. And for people who are on certain types of benefits, yes, they can have insulation installed free of charge. They can have heating systems. They can have new boilers.
Oh, brilliant. Okay. So, but it's on certain schemes.
On certain benefits. Certain benefits. There are other options for things like if you're off-grid. Yeah. There is money, which is under the Affordable Warmth Scheme, there is money available to replace old and efficient storage heaters or old oil boilers or LPG boilers. There's a whole different set of circumstances that will help you with those as well.
Okay, brilliant. So can you get help to help with the costs overall then?
Yes. Yeah, I mean, it ranges from 100% grant down to something like maybe 20% grant. It depends on where you are, how you qualify. Even people who can afford to pay and not on benefits, there is money available to them. The pot is not as big, but even people who can afford to pay will still get some form of grant assistance.
Okay. Now, again, this is out the blue, and you know, I do this to my guests all the time. I hope you don't mind, Chris. I know you've got a lot of knowledge. We've had a lot of people talking about cladding recently with disaster at Grenfell Towers, and obviously that's one of the things that some companies were doing, wasn't it? Cladding the outside of houses to reduce the heat loss.
Yes. Now,
I take it that that's still an option, but obviously the cladding is much better and the restrictions on the cladding that's used are much higher.
Well, firstly, I can't talk for tower blocks.
Yeah.
However, for a normal domestic dwelling, it's two stories. You're not going to have the same issue with the fire running up a wall for 100 feet up into the air, gaining more strength. The type of cladding that is generally installed around here is a fireproof up to a point. It is sealed, it is plastered, rather than having polyurethane, I think, sheets that are trapped between metal. It is a different, but the risk in a domestic dwelling is nothing like there is in a tall building, for a start.
Yeah.
And also, domestic cladding is very different to a tall building.
So people shouldn't be put off by the idea of having cladding
outside
if it's going to reduce the heat loss.
It's in the same way as if you look at the stuffing in your sofa.
Yeah.
It used to be any old sort of colour. Now it's pink because it's fire retardant and doesn't burn.
Yeah.
It's the same if you look at insulating materials. Funny enough, they come out pink as well for these domestic boards.
Oh, right.
A lot of them. There are different colours, but they are smoke and fire retardant.
Oh, brilliant. Fantastic. So, good one there. Thanks for answering that. I appreciate it. And I'm sorry to have thrown that at you, mate.
Not a problem. It's a question a lot of people ask.
Yeah, it's a good one. So, how can I find out more about the financial assistance and things like that?
It's a fairly complicated, in-depth field. To get a general idea of what you might be able to apply for, it's worthwhile looking at the government website for the Office of Gas Electricity Markets, which you'll probably know by the name Ofgem.
All right, Ofgem.
Now, Ofgem, if you put that in, that'll give you the broad parameters of the Affordable Warmth Scheme and also the Help to Heat Scheme. These are all the different bits and pieces that go together, and that will give you some qualifying criteria.
Okay.
Another very good site to look at will be the energysavingstrust.org.uk, because that, again, that is totally impartial and will tell you in broad outline how it works. Whether you qualify, it comes down to actually being going through a survey, answering questions, allowing someone to look at your paperwork, saying whether you qualify and where you stand in the scheme of things.
Brilliant. Thanks for that, Chris. Back after this. So it's Queen of the New Year by Deacon Blue, and Stop You Going Blue this year at Christmas. We've got Chris Wall from EPC Consulting Services, and he's talking about energy and how to save energy and some of the schemes that are out there that can help us. But in the main, about EP certificates, isn't it? I want to keep saying EPC certificates.
It's well, you can actually put an extra C if you want.
So it's EPC. Yeah, so energy performance certificates. Yeah, that doesn't ring true. That's brilliant. Yeah. Okay. So let me ask a question, Chris. Is it only householders and tenants that need to worry about EPC certificates? I'm thinking in particular about landlords.
Well, landlords have a responsibility to ensure their properties are as energy efficient as possible. So before a landlord lets a property, he needs to get an EPC for it to make sure it's up to date. It's just the same way as doing the gas safe certificate and the electricals and all the rest of it. But also, landlords can also apply for help from the scheme for their properties. Their tenants need to agree to have the improvements done, but very rarely would you have a tenant say, no, I don't want a new boiler.
Yeah.
But it means the whole idea is to reduce our carbon footprint, to reduce the tons of carbon that are produced by each household by burning fossil fuels to heat and light and all the rest of it. So, yes, landlords have a big role to play in it. It's all to do with reduction.
So it's all to do with reducing carbon emissions, and we go back to Kyoto Treaty, don't
yes.
we?
Yes, and that also saves you money by having more efficient heating. Yeah. So it's a win-win. The planet wins, and so does your wallet.
Your wallet, yeah. Yeah. Now, I came across something the other day. You and I both know a plumber who's been doing some courses recently, and one of the courses he's done is to do with these heat source pumps?
Air source and ground source heat pumps,
yeah.
Which are all part of the renewable green energy movement, if you like.
Yeah.
I mean, the obvious one everybody knows about are the windmills.
Right.
We can see them all around us here and up on the Denbigh Moors and out off Liverpool. Yeah. They are renewable energy, they're green. There is a question mark about how green they are because they have to be manufactured. But everything has to be manufactured.
Yeah.
But the great thing is they are producing clean energy with no carbon emissions.
Right.
A ground source heat pump is like an air conditioner, but in reverse.
Right.
And so is an air source heat pump. One has a coil buried in the ground. That's the ground bit.
Yeah.
And the other one actually sucks air in and takes the difference and extracts heat from the air. It's basically the heat difference that makes them work.
Right.
They both require electricity to run.
Yeah.
So it's great if you were to have solar panels because you're going to run them off free, clean electricity. But the idea is they are basically an air conditioner in reverse.
Right. Okay, so another way of thinking of it perhaps is like your refrigerator. You know it's cold on the inside, but that set of coils on the back gets quite warm because it's the heat exchange that's going on.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's exactly the same system.
Same principle.
Absolutely same principle.
That's what we're doing to save energy. So those sorts of systems are the green systems that we should be looking forward to in the coming years. Yeah. But I should imagine that the cost's quite high at the moment.
Yeah, they are quite high for both ground source and air source heat pumps. Yeah. However, again, there is funding available, and there is a thing called the renewable heat incentive, whereby the government will pay you for generating your own heating.
Okay.
From a renewable source, by the same way as you can get paid for heating your water with panels on your roof.
Yeah.
If you are using solar panels to generate electricity, there is also a payment called the feed-in tariff. It's not very big, but the government will give you something and you get all the electricity it produces. If you want, you can use it all. So these are very good zero-emission green energy options.
Okay. Does that cover all the green energy options that are available
At the moment? Well, strangely enough, there's a very large scale one that some people say is green, but the jury's still out on that one.
Okay.
And that's nuclear.
Yeah. I mean, I must admit, I know exactly where you're coming from. I know a lot of people object to nuclear, but I also know, because of my background, that the amount of nuclear waste that we've produced in Britain wouldn't fill a two-storey house. And that's in the lifetime of our nuclear industry. When you compare that to you know, other forms of energy production, the waste that's produced, not just the carbon, is massive.
So, yeah, I mean, there is something, actually, we're very fortunate in North Wales. You see quite a few schemes, if you go up into the hills, you will actually see hydroelectric, small hydroelectric, for maybe a village or a little hamlet of houses. Again, there is assistance with that because they are generating electricity. You get paid, you get a grant for putting it in and get paid by the government. So there's another green option.
That's fantastic. So that's really good. I've really appreciated having you in today, Chris. And just for our listeners, if you'd like to get in touch with Chris, then he's told me that you're welcome to do so through his website, which is epcconsultingservices.co.uk. You can also phone Chris on his mobile number 0798 519 2407. That's 0798 519 2407, and if you've got any questions, then he'll answer them.
And I'd just like to say also, please don't forget there's the Energy Savings Trust, which has got good advice, as does Ofgem. But I'm very happy to talk to anybody who needs more information.
Fantastic. Thanks for your time, Steve. Chris, lovely talking to you, mate. Take care. Bye bye.